Go to the light. Letting go doesn't mean giving up. When I went to Italy in 2004, I visited many people and places, from Michelangelo's tomb in Florence to the Pope at the Vatican. I found Italy to be a country rich in ancient history, but poor in current prosperity. I met some snooty people and some warm ones. Sister Mary Elizabeth is one of the warm ones. She's the personal secretary to the Mother General of the Sisters of St. Philippini Order, which serves very poor women and children in third world countries. She is on my email list and a fan of my books. She once told me my ideas, as expressed in the ebooks Hypnotic Writing and Hypnotic Marketing, helped her raise funds to feed homeless and starving children around the world. It was a very gratifying thing to hear, to be sure. But odd things began to happen. While in Rome, I checked my email. I was stunned to see an email from my sound engineer telling me the master audio tapes to a program I had invested thousands of dollars to create had vanished. He had no explanation. He runs one of the best studios in the world, and he lost the masters. And here I am, on the other side of the planet, unable to do a thing about it. I couldn't believe it. Things got even stranger. We hired a driver in Italy to take us to Pompeii and Naples. We had a great day. But at the end of the day, while unloading the car, he suddenly told me he wanted more money than agreed on. He made the entire day feel ugly. Later that night, we went out to eat. It was our last evening in Rome. We had a nice dinner. But when we went to pay, we were told by an unfriendly French waitress, speaking only Italian, that their credit card machine was down. Well, we had no cash. We ended up leaving, promising to send them money for our meal. We got back to the States safely, but the strange world seemed to stay with us. I was told I owe thousands of dollars in back taxes on property I own. My agent was supposed to negotiate a deal with a publisher and ended up getting fired over it. We decided to go to Las Vegas and see some shows to relax. But on the flight there, I had chest pains and couldn't breathe very well. I thought I was having a heart attack. We landed safely, but the chest pains stayed with me. The next day, the house doctor at the Venetian took one look at me and sent me to the emergency room. I had never been in any hospital before, so this was scary. And with my chest pains, I thought I was never going home again. Several hours later, and $5,000 lighter, I was told I had asthma. We returned home, but the strangeness continued. One day, while I was typing a chapter in the book The Attractor Factor, an entire sentence repeated itself on my screen. At first, I thought I imagined it. I deleted the sentence. But as I watched the screen, the sentence retyped itself on my monitor. Talk about bizarre. I assumed I had a virus and just shook my head. But what in the world was happening here? The truth. One day I drove out of town and spent the day with my chiropractor and dear friend, Dr. Rick Barrett, author of several books, including Healed by Morning. I needed to chill, to relax, to get some distance. I told him about these misadventures. I was feeling stressed to the max as I relayed all of what I just shared with you. I added, I feel like I picked up a curse in Italy. Nothing has been right since. Rick looked right at me and said, maybe this all ties in. Huh? Maybe you are being attacked by the dark forces, he explained. You went to Rome. You went to the Vatican. You saw the Pope. These are all holy things. And you are focused on writing your new book, which could truly change the world. Yes, yes, go on. Well, Rick continued, maybe your move into the light is causing the dark to try to stop you. I'm not sure I follow, I said. Rick went on to explain, whenever we go to Mexico to do our mission work, something bad happens. Me, my wife, other doctors, and other volunteers are planning to go to some truly impoverished areas and donate our time, medicine, and practice to help people there. It's a good cause. Yet every time we plan it, something happens. One time, I fell off a ladder 1 week before going. Another time, a woman was denied entry into Mexico because her papers weren't in order. It just seems like when you go to the light, sometimes the dark comes after you. I didn't agree with his assessment. From an attractor factor viewpoint, I'd say a part of us was showing its ugly head. When Rick fell off the ladder, it was the part of him that resisted the good another part of him wanted to do. He attracted the experience. It's the same with me. As I grew closer to completing my book, The Attractor Factor, I almost sabotaged my own effort to make it a success. No evil force was out to get me. It was simply a part of me that resisted my intention. Dr. Valerie Hunt, writing in her book, Infinite Mind, put it this way. To acknowledge diabolical entities that possess power in and of themselves without the person's participation, I believe, is inaccurate and destructive. She adds, it assures protection from uncovering one's unfinished business because one is looking in the wrong place. In short, I had to get clear. I had to find out why a part of me was resisting what I wanted to actually attract. I did that too, or else you would not be listening to this recording now. But back to the conversation with Dr. Barrett. How do we reinforce ourselves so the light wins? I asked him. Rick said, you have to tell yourself that nothing will stop you, that you won't give up, that you won't give in. Sometimes you just have to turn it over to God or the universe and say, I don't see the way. And there's the secret. You maintain your overall goal and you move toward it, always being sensitive to something better being offered, but you are not attached to the outcome either. The ultimate secret. Again, the ultimate secret to attracting whatever you want is to want it without needing it. When you are detached to the outcome, you disconnect from everything that could sabotage your success. The attractor factor kicks into overdrive when you state your intention and are happy whether you achieve it or not. This is a delicate balance, but it's the major secret to how the universe works. In other words, in the world of everyday reality, struggling to achieve something causes the opposite forces within yourself to kick into play. But when you come from an inner place of serenity and you go with the flow towards your wishes, you have upped the odds of your achieving them. Your peace will attract peace. As Deepak Chopra wrote in his book, The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, intention is not simply a whim. It requires attention, and it also requires detachment. Once you've created the intention mindfully, you must be able to detach from the outcome and let the universe handle the details of fulfillment. In short, you fully activate the attractor factor when you let go. The $1 Million Secret Formula. What's the hardest part to creating life the way you want it? A friend asked me over lunch. I thought for a moment and replied, learning to stop figuring out how you will get what you want. My friend looked at me confused. She asked, what do you mean? I went on to say, if you try to figure out how you will get that new car or that new house or that new relationship, you'll limit yourself to what your ego can see and do. Turn your goal over to your unconscious, which is connected to the spirit of everything and everyone, and let it bring the goal to you and you to the goal. Just follow your inner promptings and act on the opportunities that come your way, and you'll get there. Well, I'm not sure if my friend understood what I was saying, but a few days later, I was sitting in a limousine, being driven to have dinner with 8 wealthy, wonderful, self-made people. All of these people started with nothing. Many of them started as I had, with empty pockets and hope in their hearts. As I sat in the limo, a part of me couldn't believe I was there. How did I get here? I remember thinking to myself, I'm in a beautiful limo, with beautiful people beside me, going to have a beautiful dinner that some other beautiful person is going to pay for. I'm just a nobody kid from Ohio who left home to find fame and fortune. I used to dig ditches, drive trucks, work in the dirt, the rain, and the heat, and never enough money to pay my bills. How'd I get in this limo? As I thought about it, I knew the secret was the 5-step formula I've revealed to you in this recording. It's the attractor factor. In short, the secret to increasing your business, finding your love, achieving better health, or manifesting whatever you want is as follows. Step 1. Know what you don't want. Step 2. Select what you do want. Step 3. Clear all negative or limiting beliefs. Step 4. Feel what it would be like to have, do, or be what you want. And step 5. Let go as you act on your intuitive impulses and allow the results to manifest. Yes, that's it. The truth is, there's no one way to achieve anything in this world. Some people get new cars by winning them, others by struggling to pay for them, others by happily paying for them, others by other means. What I told my friend at lunch is the truth. You can't orchestrate the world to do your bidding. Instead, state your intentions and let the world arrange itself to bring your goals to you. In other words, you don't manufacture your outcomes, you participate in them. And you participate best when you allow your inner spirit to do most of the work. I was in that limo because I didn't plan to be in it. I allowed, acted, trusted, and accepted. I followed the 5-step formula. I activated the attractor factor. And when the limo pulled up, I got in. 6 key points. Before we end this recording, let's go over some final key points in the attractor factor process. 1. You are totally responsible for your experiences in your life. That doesn't mean you caused them, but on some level, you attracted them. You are responsible for them. That's not good or bad. Simply use the experiences to learn about yourself. Get clear and choose what you prefer to experience. 2. You are absorbing beliefs from the culture itself. If you are watching movies about violence, or reading the papers, or watching the news, you are filling your mind with the very vibe that will attract more of what you soaked up. Mother Teresa said she would never attend an anti-war rally. Why? Because it contains the very energy that creates more war. Watch what you absorb. Choose what you want to attract. Be aware. 3. You are not ruler of the earth, but you have more power than you ever realized. You can move mountains with the right thought and action. Keep a balance of ego and spirit in your life, always striving to let your ego obey spirit. 4. You can change your thoughts. This often feels impossible to believe because it's not normal for the vast majority of people. But what you think is largely habit. Start noticing what goes through your head. If you don't like it, start consciously changing it. Choose new thoughts. 5. You can do the impossible. What you believe to be the restraints of time and space right now may simply be the limits of our current understanding. No one knows what is impossible. If you have an inclination to try something new and different, then so be it. Go for it. Make it so. You may be creating a path never seen before. Dare something worthy. 6. Whatever image you add feeling to will manifest. If you fear something or love something, you are adding energy to it. Anything you fear or love will tend to be attracted into your life. Choose your passions wisely. When your limo pulls up. Finally, I can't find any better way of ending this recording than with this quote from Francis Larimore Warner, written in 1907. When I was interviewed on a late-night talk show one evening, they asked me to read this quote to them twice. Then they were silent for a moment while the meaning of these words hit home. I'll end this recording with these same words and wish you Godspeed in making all your dreams come true. And when your limo pulls up, get in. If we plant a seed in the ground, we know that the sun will shine and the rain will water, and we leave it to the law to bring results. Well, the desire you image is the seed. Your occasional closing of the eyes in imagery is the sun. And your constant, though not anxious, expectation is the rain and cultivation necessary to bring absolutely sure results. The shocking true story of Jonathan. Nearly every day I get a call, an email, or a letter from someone asking what happened to Jonathan. Every person asking the question marveled at the stories of my miraculous and even shocking work with Jonathan Jacobs, which is not his real name. And now they want to know what happened to the man himself. The thing is, Jonathan is no longer available. I'll tell you why, but you had better brace yourself. This may not be easy to hear. Jonathan clearly made a difference in my life. He was my miracles coach and my best friend for more than 10 years. The stories you heard about in this recording are all true. Jonathan was a true helper in co-creating miracles for me and for lots of other people. But Jonathan was also human. Along the way, he started to let his ego take control of his success. I noticed little things at first. In conversation, he appeared more smug. He wanted the attention on himself, and he talked about his work more than most people wanted to hear. I let that slide because I was too involved in enjoying the results I was getting from my work with him. But it got worse. He started to have intimate relations with a few of his female clients. At one point, he was working at a clinic, doing his healing work, and was fired for inappropriate conduct with his clients. I supported him during that dark phase of his life because he was my friend. But it didn't stop there. Jonathan lost his father and went into a depression. He considered suicide. I was his lifeline and did my best to help him. I went and stayed with him. I counseled him. I used the very healing methods I learned from him to help him. After a few months, Jonathan came around, moved back into life, and started to see clients again. But he was still stuck in his self. He again seduced his female clients. At least one was married, and her relationship with Jonathan caused her to fall into depression over her own guilt. But even that didn't end this downward spiral into hell. The turning point for me came when one day Jonathan manipulated and then molested the friend closest to me in my life at that time. Words cannot convey how badly this hurt me. I felt betrayed. My best friend, my guru, had become a criminal. The woman he molested couldn't handle this experience. Her healer and friend had manipulated and molested her. You can imagine what it did to her thinking. She called the suicide hotline. She called the rape crisis hotline. She began a long series of bouts with depression, then car accidents, then hospital visits, and more, ending with a near-fatal car accident. It didn't stop there for her either. She then saw medical doctors who kept prescribing medication to numb what she was feeling. Later, the medications caused her to have seizures. She was hospitalized repeatedly and nearly died in the emergency room. At one point, she actually flatlined. It was a horrible time. During it, Jonathan hid. He never offered help. He never apologized, and he disappeared from our lives. My guru had stabbed me and left me bleeding. The pain was beyond words. I had to seek counseling myself. Even today, the memory still stings. This is my first time to record about the experience in such an open way. By now, you should know I tend to look at life's experiences as a symbol. So I wondered why this happened. Why did Jonathan become evil? Why did he hurt me and others who loved him? What was the positive in this negative? How can I turn this into something good? I remember reading a helpful passage in one of my favorite books, Breaking the Rules by Kurt Wright. It goes like this. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to look back on events that happened a year or more in the past and see the perfection in them? For most of us, this is true even for situations which seem tragic, horrible, or even devastating at the time. Now, if it is possible to see the perfection in those things a year later, doesn't it make sense that the perfection must be there in the moment it happens too? Wow, what a freeing statement. It causes you to look for the positive in everything and to look for it right now. So I turned my light on the situation with Jonathan. All I could conclude was this was a gift of freedom. For over 10 years, I had turned to Jonathan when I needed help. Well, now it was time for me to be my own healer, my own best friend, and my own guru. I was free. I feel better than ever before. I am grateful for Jonathan helping me during my time of need, and I wish him well wherever he is. I no longer want or need him in my life, but I am grateful for the time we had together. As for my abused lady friend, she died on October 2nd, 2004. She never fully recovered from the betrayal, the pain, or the humiliation of her experience with Jonathan. She tried to heal herself, and she tried to forgive him. But for the last 3 years of her life, she suffered. She only found peace in death. Meanwhile, my adventures continue, and my life is one of magic and miracles. How do I stay clear and focused? I work with several people these days to keep myself on track. There are healers around, of course. My only advice is for you to trust your intuition and not become addicted to a healer or a healing. The goal is freedom. The only path is your connection to spirit. Trust yourself. The Experiment, Intentional Meditation Foundation. Will you join me in transforming the world? I am looking for people all over the world to help lift the energy of the planet. With enough people practicing the attractor factor and using the meditation I plan to teach you in a moment, we can reduce crime, lower violence, and raise the wealth and prosperity of everyone near us. When I was on a radio show one night and announced my colossal plan to change the world, I was amazed to later hear from people in Africa, India, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia, and all over the United States, all volunteering to help. I got the idea for this rather noble project while reading the book Permanent Peace, How to Stop Terrorism and War Now and Forever by Robert Oates. That book reveals 19 scientific studies that proved when groups of people meditate, the crime and violence in their area goes down. Oates writes in his book, "The basic idea is simple to state. Like ripples on a pond radiating outward from a pebble's splash, ripples of orderliness and harmony radiate outward from concentrated groups of meditation experts. And the evidence for this idea has been repeated and statistically significant. Not only do signs of social disorder go down, such as violent crime, fires, traffic accidents, warfare, and terrorism, but signs of coherence and progress go up. Patent applications, for example, stock market levels, and economic indicators have all been shown to rise." Now, notice his last sentence. It suggests that meditation helps increase wealth. With that in mind, I decided to create a global set of hubs where people learn how to meditate to intentionally attract wealth. The idea is, the more you help yourself, the more you also help those around you. And as you help them, you help the planet. This is the noble purpose of the Intentional Meditation Foundation. It is a nonprofit foundation designed to teach a specific meditation technique to people all over the globe with the purpose of lowering violence and increasing wealth wherever it is practiced. At the core of this movement is a 30-day event I'm calling The Experiment. When I told a close friend that I planned to run a 30-day experiment to see if meditation could raise the prosperity level of the people meditating as well as influence everyone near them, she asked me something interesting. "Do you care that you are running this experiment during a war when people are worried about their jobs, their next payday, and maybe even their lives?" "Actually, that's why I'm running this experiment," I replied. This brief conversation intrigued me because her question assumed that outward events have the control. On the contrary, your income doesn't have to be affected by war, recession, pay cuts, or layoffs. You don't have to be a victim of circumstances. In my mind, outward events are simply the result of what we have already done inside ourselves. I'll repeat that. Outward events are simply the result of what we have already done inside ourselves. Maybe we attracted our current economic situation unconsciously, but we certainly attracted it. There is no right or wrong in that perspective. It simply is. Now, the really wonderful thing is that once you realize you are the creator, you can create the kind of life you prefer. And that leads me to the subject of this section. I'm asking for people to help me in what I am calling the experiment. This 30-day event is designed to bring you more money, almost by magic, but only if you do three things. 1. Record where you are now in your finances, and then, when the experiment is over, record the changes. 2. Meditate every day for 20 minutes using the technique I'm about to teach you. 3. Act on the insights that you receive and or the opportunities that come your way afterward. That's it. Now, before I tell you the I am technique, let's cover a few basics to set the stage for what is about to happen. 1. You are the creator. Now, just as I pointed out to my friend, you are the predominant creative force in your life. What is happening to you is being created in part by you. You are attracting it. This is good news. It means you can change those appearances to match what you consciously prefer. It also means you can be, do, or have anything you can imagine, because the person responsible for any of it is you. 2. Your belief creates your reality. If you do this I am technique every day, but still believe it won't work for you, then it won't work for you. You have to believe that change is possible. Belief rules. Intention is king. We are belief beings, and the results are belief creations. Change your beliefs, and you change your life. 3. Your feelings are the fuel. Your feelings are what fuel your beliefs, desires, hopes, and dreams. When you worry, you are fueling a belief in a negative outcome. When you have faith, you are fueling your belief in a positive outcome. Your feelings are the motivators that make things happen. A belief without feeling is a thought. With feeling, it's an intention. 4. Whatever you say after I am defines you. You create yourself by how you define yourself. Ask yourself, who am I? And pay attention to your answers. That is what you are creating. Change your answers and you change your results. Now, let's look at the I am process itself. I am stands for intentional meditation. Most meditation is not request-oriented. That is, the meditation is simply a quieting of the mind. In and of itself, that is wonderful. I once had a t-shirt that read, "Meditation is not what you think." Exactly. If you're thinking, you're not meditating. Traditional meditation is beyond thinking or behind it. But intentional meditation is a departure from traditional meditation. In the I am method, you are focused on a specific outcome. You are thinking, and you are thinking with feeling. An I am is a request to the universe through your conscious intent to attract a particular result. In other words, traditional meditators would sit and simply watch their thoughts. That is the meditation of my t-shirt. Meditation is not what you think. It's a wonderful method. I encourage you to do it. The Beatles made a form of meditation popular in the 60s called TM, or Transcendental Meditation. In TM, you are given a mantra or special phrase to repeat over and over again as you sit. This mantra keeps your mind busy so your being can settle down and relax. TM is powerful. When people used meditation to lower crime rates, as reported in 19 separate studies in Oates' book, they were doing TM. But IM is different. IM is focused on achieving a result. You go into the meditation with a mental request and a feeling, which you amplify in your meditation. In other words, an IM meditation might be something like this. I see myself at the end of our 30-day experiment with my business goals for the month achieved. I'm feeling great, smiling, maybe singing or whistling, as I feel the exhilaration of having magically attracted more money easily and effortlessly. The statement is your intention. Your intention is what you use as a type of mantra in your meditation. So, are you with me? I'll walk you through an I am method to help make this clearer for you. Step 1. Decide on what you want to achieve. Make it believable to you. Remember, belief rules. If you don't believe you can do it, you probably won't. Let it be a stretch, but be honest with yourself too. Again, what do you want to achieve at the end of the 30 days? How much more business or income do you want? Step 2. Write it down in one clear statement. For example, at the end of the 30-day experiment, I have an extra $15,000 in the bank from unexpected sources. Or maybe you would write down, at the end of the 30-day experiment, I have 20 new clients. Whatever it is, write it down for you. Step 3. Feel what it will be like to have achieved your intention. If you already had what you say you want, what would that feel like right now? Get into those feelings. Relish them. Roll around in them. How would you look? How would you act? How would you smile? Feel the feelings now. That's it. In short, here it is again. You simply take your intention, what you wrote down that you want, and you take the feelings of already having accomplished it, feel the success now, and spend 20 minutes a day soaking it up, pretending it's all happening right now. Again, that's it. So how does this simple method work? How does it make your intentions come true? In short, you are putting in a request with the universe. You are placing your order. Because you are clear about what you want and you feel what you want, you have streamlined the process. The universe will hear you and will begin to orchestrate events to help you attract your intended desire. All you have to do is pay attention and act on your hunches. Trust the process. As I mentioned earlier, 19 separate studies proved that meditation can lower crime rate. Those studies were all about a form of transcendental meditation. In short, the meditators created a peaceful field, which radiated out and calmed everyone, including many potentially violent people. In the I Am formula that I just described to you, you are quieting the mind as in meditation and even merging with all that is, but you are also placing a request with the universe. That request will radiate out and reach the people who could help you achieve it. From there, magic happens. I know much of this may seem strange, but I'm calling it an experiment so you can find out, with me, just how powerful this system can be. Yes, you can create change in your life. It all begins right now. Finally, for more information about this method, including recent research and case studies, go to www.intentionalmeditationfoundation.com. Common questions with answers. Can I attract a specific person? I have my eyes on someone I really like. It is a violation of free will to attract a specific person, so the answer is no. After all, you are trying to find a match for yourself based on what your ego can see in your circle of friends and coworkers. That's a small group. The universe can see the big picture. There are over 6 billion people on the planet. So chances are astronomically high that there is a better match for you out there than the person you are thinking about. The wiser approach is to note the qualities you like in the person you are attracted to. That will help attract the right person to you. So focus on the characteristics of what you think you would like, not on an actual person. What if I'm desperate? I am out of work and about to be thrown out of my apartment. I understand. What you have to do is find a way to find peace right now. You might need to ask for help, pray, take any job you can get, borrow money, make a deal with your landlord for late payment, or something else that will help your immediate situation. As you do that, you must also find the spirit of gratitude for what you do already have. As much as I feel for your situation, as I've been saying all along, I also know you can be sincerely grateful for something in your life, if only your life itself. When you feel gratitude, you begin to shift your energy, and you'll begin to attract more peaceful new moments. How can I end war? The easiest answer is to understand peace begins with you. If you are angry or anxious about war, you are actually sending out the signal that attracts more war. You want to come from a place of inner peace. There are 19 scientific studies, as reported in the book Permanent Peace, that prove, without question, that when people meditate in a group, they help lower the crime and violence in that immediate area, as well as increase the prosperity of the same area. I would suggest you form such groups. If you don't feel so inclined, then at least spend every day in silence, in peace, in appreciation of your life. That energy will help neutralize war. What's the fastest way to attract whatever I want? Appreciate what you have. An attitude of gratitude will speed up the attraction process. Beyond that, I'd say there are three things. 1, know what you want. 2, take action to attract it. And 3, let go of any desperation or need for it. In short, you will attract faster if you don't need what you'd like and you take action to manifest it. It sounds contradictory, but action and letting go are the two essentials to success. You still have to get and stay clear of any limiting blocks within you, but action can often override them. Am I to blame for everything I've attracted? No. You attract your life experiences due to unconscious programming, rarely to any premeditated conscious desires. I advise people to accept responsibility for what occurs, but not any blame or guilt. What about people who attract disasters? Again, we attract our life experiences due to a wide variety of unseen and unconscious processes. I have no idea what lurks in someone's history to attract a flood or a fire or any other kind of challenge. When something happens, it's wise to handle it while looking for the hidden attractor belief that may have triggered it. Again, no one is doing this consciously. But our unconscious mind is packed with limiting beliefs and self-esteem issues, and maybe even past life baggage. I don't honestly know. None of this is cause for alarm, blame, or guilt. The idea is to awaken, choose what you do want, and take action toward it. Life goes on. It's just so much better when you're awake. What's the ultimate secret to attracting whatever I want? Get clear. When you are clear of any beliefs within you regarding what you want to attract, you'll attract it, or something better. Also, be happy with what you have while taking inspired action out of this moment. Happiness is what you ultimately want, and happiness is yours right now. Look around and enjoy. It doesn't mean you won't take action to create even better moments. It means your appreciation of this moment will attract even better moments based on your vibration and your action. Be here now. Be happy now. Heaven is here. When someone has hurt you, how do you forgive them? Have you forgiven Jonathan? If you have forgiven him, where did you go in your heart and mind to forgive him? As I said in this recording, yes, I've forgiven Jonathan. I did it with the quote I gave earlier from Kurt Wright about realizing that it's all good. True forgiveness is when you realize nothing bad happened in the first place. It may take time to forgive, but you can do it in an instant with the right mindset. That mindset is one of love. If your five-step formula works, why don't you attract hair? You have to want it to attract it. I don't care if I have hair on my head or not. Your question implies that baldness is bad. It's not. Some of the sexiest people alive are bald, such as actors Sean Connery and Bruce Willis. Some people even shave their head to become bald. If I wanted hair, I'd find a way to attract it. The real question is, what do you want? Instead of imagining what I should want, what is your own desire? I read on your blog that you were burglarized in Los Angeles. Did you attract that? You attract everything. So do I. My hotel room was broken into and someone stole my laptop, iPod, and cash. They left jewelry and expensive leather jackets. This is relevant because only weeks before I had been thinking about buying a new laptop and iPod. The criminals took what I was ready to let go of. And the cash they got was cash I give away to servers and homeless people. In short, I attracted an experience that fit exactly what I unconsciously wanted. Had I been more conscious at the time, I would have simply bought a new laptop and iPod and given the money away. This is why we need to awaken. Until we do, our unconscious is in charge and may create or attract unpleasant experiences to help us get what we really want. Is giving a good way to attract wealth? I read a fascinating study that proves giving makes you rich. The article stated, more giving doesn't just correlate with higher income, it causes higher income. Also, you might want to read my book, The Greatest Money-Making Secret in History, and then go give some money away. What is necessary to change? Two key things. Understanding that you can do it and knowing that it is worth the effort. Assuming you want to change anything at all in your life, you have to believe that you can do it, and you have to believe it is worthwhile to. If you don't believe you can do whatever it takes to change, you won't even try. If you don't believe the end result of change is worth it, you won't even begin the process. Again, you can do it, and it's worth doing. Those are essential first steps to lasting change. How is spiritual marketing different from the attractor factor? Spiritual marketing was the early version of the attractor factor. The latter has been greatly enriched, expanded, and revised. The five steps in both are the same. How do I let it go if I'm meditating on it? What you let go of is your attachment to the end result, not the desire itself. When you can desire something without needing something, you are in a powerful magnetic field to attract the very something you desire. You simply can't need your desire. If you do, you're coming from desperation, which will attract more desperation. I need money to pay someone like a coach to help me get clear, but I don't have any money. Who can help me get clear if I can't afford to pay them? You don't need anyone to get clear. You can use this recording or the methods in my other books, such as The Key. Thinking you need someone is a belief. Yes, I believe that you grow faster with a coach, and that's why I created my Miracles Coaching Program. But you don't need someone to help you. You simply need to help yourself. Okay, I've tried everything. I've read your books. I've watched The Secret. I spent thousands of dollars on yajnas, and still nothing works. How come? Actually, it all works, unless you block it. What you're getting is what you are wanting. Accept it, love it, and choose a new direction. Remember, you have counter intentions within you that block your conscious desire from coming to you. Get clear of them, and you are free. Getting clear takes moment-by-moment awareness and everything you can throw at it. Don't give up. How can I figure out what I really want in my life and how to start getting it? You say follow your passion and the money will come, but I have no idea what I love or what I'm passionate about. Help! You always know what you are passionate about when you are ruthlessly honest with yourself. Pretend you won the lottery and you have $300 million in your bank. What would you do? After you spend money on cars and toys, what would you do with yourself? How can I focus on positive things through good feelings when everything in my life is going wrong and I'm surrounded by all this negativity? First, you have to understand nothing is going wrong. Your perception of the event is what is making it feel lousy. See it all with love and you're at peace, and even appreciate it all. Second, do what you need to get back to feeling grateful for what you have. You are lucky to be alive. Many aren't. You are lucky to be able to listen to these words. Many can't. How do you maintain when you encountered crazy drivers, rude people, and just the other negative people you can't help but encounter in the world? You love them. As you love all you see, you begin to notice they disappear from your experience. Don't wait for the drivers to change. You change. When does everything start coming together? So far, nothing has changed. 1 month, 4 months, longer? How do you know nothing has changed? Most of your programming is unconscious, so there could be changes there. Also, if you are concerned or impatient, then that is a sign you're not clear. Being clear would mean you're happy now, and that state of peace would attract what you want or something even better. Truth is, time is a human concept. Everything happens when it happens. Enjoy the moment. Can you help me get out of debt? Can you offer me a loan and I'll pay you back? This is thinking there is only one way to solve a problem or attract a result. Me. Don't wait for me or anyone else for you to take continual action. Don't just ask one person and stop right there. Look beyond me and keep going. If you are open and willing to constantly take inspired action, the universe will help you when the time is right. I'm no longer able to answer all the emails and requests I receive, so don't even look in my direction. But look within and ask for guidance, then act on what you receive. What do you think about children who were born sick? How did they attract sickness? Are the parents responsible for it? Each of us comes into this world with an agenda. It's programming. Who knows why some children were born sick? But they're here now, so heal them. Your responsibility is to handle all that is in your experience. It doesn't matter how it got there. It's there. Now heal it. I'd like to create a clear vision of what success looks like, and I know you'll think this is silly, but I really haven't ever been exposed to it. So I need some help from my heroes. I want to know if there is something you have that helps commemorate your achievements in life. Did you get awards? Do you have letters from important people? What does a big house have inside of it? I often reward myself when I accomplish something. Sometimes it's a new pair of shoes, or a car, or a trip, or a piece of furniture. This helps me anchor the feeling of success and remind me of it later when I look at the item I bought. I don't always have to buy a reminder either. This could be something like a drinking glass I was given when I was on Donnie Deutsch's TV show, or the photo of me and Larry King taken when I was on his show the first time. How do I stay inspired? By focusing on what your heart wants. Does the law of attraction override karma, or does karma override the law of attraction? Karma is the law of attraction. How come when I acted on a hunch, it didn't lead me anywhere? Where did you expect it to lead you? It may have taken you right where you needed to go, but you judged it as wrong. Trust in life means you trust all that happens is for your highest good. What are the 8 words you mention that can forever change my life? They are, you never have to worry about money again. I didn't quite get that part explaining the muscle test. Are there any other resources I can go to so I can get clear about that? You might read Muscle Testing, a book by Serafino Amoroso, Amoroso. My spouse just left me. Can I wish him back to me again? No. That is a violation of your spouse's free will. Instead, focus on the part of you that he represents. Love that inner part of you, and he will come back, or not, but you will be at peace and ready for more love. How does Zero Limits reconcile with the law of attraction? Zero Limits points to the divine. Come from there, and all you do will be pure attractor factor. I say there are 3 stages of awakening. The first is victimhood. Attractor factor appeals to the second stage, where you awaken to your power. Zero Limits is the 3rd stage, where you surrender and work with the divine. They are simply stepping stones on the road to enlightenment, to being right here, right now, at total peace. I want to know if I caused my husband's death. Can you think yourself to death? People often think themselves to death. If you don't monitor your thoughts and choose the ones that support you, you can choose the ones that kill you, sometimes over time, sometimes instantly. But no, you cannot think another person to their death. I'm sorry you lost your husband. You co-created the experience of his loss, but you did not create his death. He had his own life. You have yours. The time you had together was a great gift. Remember it. Do you still use a coach? Absolutely. I have Miracles coaches to help me keep growing and awakening, just as people go to my own Miracles coaching program. We all need support to attract miracles. You can do it alone, but it's so much easier and faster with your own coach.